I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Who wants cream? Nobody? Okay, no cream.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, we've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right. We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to keep our composure.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A lot of pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, guys. Oh, big golf, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour two. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. If you missed the first hour, Joe Fish dropped an S-bomb. We went to Stillwater to talk about Oklahoma State being banned from March Madness.
That's a really NCAA, Oklahoma State. Kansas, nothing. Arizona, yeah, nothing.
I didn't want to ask. Robert got kind of long-winded with the first answer. Yeah. It was very detailed. I appreciated it, but I kind of wanted to say, hey, you know, Oklahoma State's not one of those blue bloods. Do you think this is the NCAA's coward's way out to punish the schools like them versus, I don't want to lose Kansas, Duke, Arizona, et cetera?
Right. Well, and I think also his point, look, sometimes when you have somebody on and they try and say, well, no, we didn't actually cheat, it can sound like a homer take. I agree with his, though. If you read up on it, it's about the assistant coach funneling the players to agents. Like, they were already on, they were already playing. And I think he was doing it for Oklahoma State players and, what, South Carolina players or something like that. He was funneling them to agents. The money went straight to his pocket. It didn't really benefit Oklahoma State in any provable way. That's why it doesn't make any sense.
All right. I've got a new thing we're going to start doing maybe on every Friday. And we'll tell you what that is coming up at 1:15.
Okay.
Crunch time as well. So we got a lot to get to. By the way, great text today so far. It's Fan text line 503-250-1080.
People are fired up.
And on Twitter at 1080 The Fan and at Dirt and Sprague. Okay. Sports question of the day. I didn't really have one that I was committed to. I had a couple. Didn't really like them all that much. Dirt came up with one. And I would like you to re-ask it for those just getting in their car or maybe just turning us on. And then we'll start getting some suggestions here because I need a backstory to answer this question. I think I have the athlete, but I need a little more explanation here.
So what brought this up in my mind was reading a story today about Matt Harvey. Have you guys seen what Matt Harvey's going to do? This came out in the New York Post this morning.
I completely forgot about Matt Harvey.
You forget about him, right? So he was their ace when they went to the World Series in 2015, right? And lost it to Kansas City. And everybody thought, here come the Mets, and they got this big three-headed monster of pitchers, and his career is crumbled. Since then, he's dealt with some injuries, but he's also dealt with like partying in clubs the night before game kind of stuff, and the New York media dragged him. He ended up, I believe, in Cincinnati last year when they got rid of him finally, or maybe that was 2 years ago, but he's kind of disappeared from the face of the earth after being one of the best pitchers in baseball early on. His latest comeback attempt is going to take him to Korea, it sounds like.
Oh, he's going to go play in Korea?
So the New York Post reported today that a Korean-based report said that Harvey's representatives with Scott Boras' agency reached out to KBO teams, and according to the report, there's no match yet, but it remains a possibility. They allow a maximum of three foreign players, and only two can be pitchers. Apparently he is looking and actively seeking a home in the KBO, and that's where Matt Harvey's career is going to go. And it's one of those that made me think, like, man, if I told you when he's pitching game whatever of the World Series, game one of the World Series, that in 5 years that guy's going to be pitching in Korean baseball, you wouldn't believe it. So it made me wonder, and I don't think he's the answer because his run wasn't quite long enough. Who is the athlete? And I'm not using like Lance Armstrong, you know, all of a sudden finding out he was a cheater, or Michael Vick fighting dogs. Like, that was just on the top of their game. and then just rapidly fell to being irrelevant in their sport.
Okay, so
for non like legal reasons, like not Aaron Hernandez doesn't count.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I have one that sticks out in my mind. Now I look at the stats. The stats don't necessarily back up my thinking.
Okay.
Now this isn't a superstar player.
It doesn't have to be necessarily a superstar.
But in terms of what I thought, how good they were, and then they just dropped and then they were out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can come up with a better non-superstar player than Sean Figgins.
Oh, that's a pretty good one.
He was one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball. He was a really good defensive player for the Angels for many years. As soon as he got to Seattle, I mean, he didn't know how to play baseball anymore.
Right.
And there's great examples in all different sports. He is maybe one that sticks out for me of, I'd love to know the backstory. Did he have something personal going on in his life? Did he feel like there was a new expectation when he got that contract? I don't know what the reasoning is, but I remember when the Mariners got him, I was like, damn, that's a really good signing. And he just almost forgot how to play baseball.
Yeah, it was ugly. It was bad.
So Figgins for me is one that I will always kind of put in this category of, I had a lot of respect and admired how good he was. And then he went to a new city, and it was like he forgot.
It just evaporated from him. The one that
he hit 188 and 181 his last 2 years
after
in Seattle,
signing a big contract too. And Seattle had that problem with guys with big contracts.
Richie Sexton, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Sexton's another good one too. You get that from time to time in baseball, guys that'll sign a big deal and they just stop trying because it's guaranteed money and they got nothing to play for at that point. And Swag and I might have the same one. It's David Duvall, is it not?
He was the number one ranked player in the world. He shot a 59 to win. I can't remember which tournament it was.
He was Tiger's rival. I mean, it wasn't Phil. It was David Duvall.
Yeah, everybody thought, okay, here we go. This is going to be the guy
It was going to be him and Tiger. Was the era of golf. They were both peaking at the same time, late 90s, early 2000s, and then it just poof.
I mean, really, what I see from Phil, you know, the Tiger Phil stuff, and I really, if you at one point in the late 90s, if you would have said, hey, what's the future? I really would have said it's going to be Duvall and Woods. Like what Phil is to golf, I thought that was going to be David Duvall.
Yeah. This is a good one. Now, it pains me to read it, but it is good. Tim Lincecum's up there. Tim Lincecum was as good as it got in Major League Baseball, and he won two Cy Youngs, and there's not many National League pitchers in the history of the league that have
big
two.
Big time Timmy Jim.
Dude, he was dominant. He led him to the World Series in 2010, and it faded quick.
Well, okay, so can I...
And there was never, he didn't have Tommy John surgery. It just, he lost it. The velocity started to drip a little bit, and it just, he couldn't recover.
Well, because of how good he was at UW, mixed in with the immediate impact I thought he made when he got to the bigs and played for the Giants... I wondered how much that had to do with his just sheer size.
Yeah,
playing
he just
that
didn't
position.
Have the strength, yeah.
He wasn't a big, he's like 6 foot. He's basically my size, isn't he? Not a pretty big dude, six foot.
Oh, he's super, he's not even 6 foot. I think he's like 5'10", a buck 70. Like he's skinny and small.
That's a really small size for a starting pitcher and have the amount of success he had. Yeah, I wondered how much that almost speaks to his ability versus, I don't know if he just lost it is probably the right term. But I always wonder with him, it was just, did you get the max amount of potential out of the size of who you are?
Right.
And your shelf life was never going to be this 20-year run as a pitcher.
Yeah, he was almost like, he was a Felix kind of before Felix because he won. And when he broke in, I think it was 2008 or 2009, the year that he broke in, it was a big deal. I remember when they called him up. He was dominant, but they sucked before they eventually ended up winning World Series, obviously, so he got some rings out of it. But he won, I think, 12 or 13 games, and he won a Cy Young because he was so dominant. They just couldn't score any runs to help him out. And he went from being arguably the best pitcher in the National League to being really bad. And he ended up having a good run in 2012 when they won, and he came out of the bullpen. But he was taken out of the rotation 2 years after being the ace that led them to a World Series. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
Some good one. By the way, one that stuck out to me. Andrew Bynum's a good one.
Bynum had injury problems.
He had a lot
problems.
Of injury problems.
It killed him. I mean, he was the next. I mean, I remember there was a game where Shaq was on the Heat, and he had a great sequence back-to-back against Shaq, and he obviously helped them a lot with their championships with Kobe, but his was injuries. I mean, he had some off-the-court minor drama stuff, but his real setback was injury.
Yeah, and the and that's where you kind of draw a line. And David Lee, I feel like, would be that way too. He dealt with back issues, didn't he?
Yeah, David
Lee.
The power
forward.
Yeah, he dealt with it.
Because he was a good, I mean, he was a good power forward for a number of years, and then he just kind of, he disappeared a little
bit. What happened to Vin Baker? Like, Vin Baker was.
Vin Baker's a
good one.
He signed
with Seattle, and that was it.
He signed with Seattle, he got that huge contract, and then he went.
See, I think that's what it is. How many of the players that we're going to name, like the Duvalls and Lindskums, maybe they don't fall into this. I remember the Sonics getting Vin Baker, and I remember being jacked. I'm like, wow, Vin Baker's going to be a great piece because he was a monster in Milwaukee. I almost just wonder, is it the pressure? Is it the contract? Is it what you mentioned, the laziness? You get that money, it's guaranteed.
I'm done, man.
Yeah, I got my big deal.
Yeah, Rick Ankiel and Chuck Knobloch were texting in. Knobloch got the yips, and he couldn't throw the ball later in his career.
I don't think Ankiel established enough success to make this list.
In either as a hitter or as a pitcher. No. I kind of agree with you. Somebody texted in Peyton Hillis, and he did fall off, but I view that more as kind of a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Eric Gagne is a good one. He probably stopped juicing.
Yeah, he definitely stopped juicing.
So he went from being dominant. This is a pretty good one too. Chris Davis for Baltimore. Dude, you go back and look at Chris Davis, who, by the way, remember when he just went on that like hitless streak? Was that last year or the year before?
Yeah, yeah.
Where he just couldn't get a hit and was like, I think he was breaking all sorts of major league records. Dude, you go back to 2012 was really when he popped. And he always tried to claim he didn't use juice. I'm not buying it. He came out of nowhere, hit 33 home runs, and then in 2013, he hit 53 home runs and had 138 RBIs. Banged up the next year, hit 26, and then came back in 2015, and he had 47 home runs and 117 RBIs. This last year, he had .179. The year before that, he had .168. Mm. And he was a guy, too. I remember when he was pushing, I think it was in 2013, he was top three in the MVP voting, which is crazy that 53 and 138 is number three in the MVP voting. He was even one of those guys that was arguing that if he hit 62, it would be the legitimate record because the steroid users aren't legitimate.
So I remember that.
If I top Roger Maris, yeah. I am the home run record holder. And he has fallen off the last 3 years. That's a good one.
I think locally, one that comes to my mind, I thought it was going to end up being a great fit. It couldn't have gone worse. Kent Bazemore.
Kent Bazemore sucks,
not that
man.
He falled into that. Sure. Oh, I have so much. I thought he was going to be such a good fit for Portland, and we got him. It wasn't even close to what he did in Atlanta.
Right.
I'm trying to think of like more recent ones, non-superstar type ones.
Dude, somebody texted in Brandon Roy. That's injury related. Icky Woods, that's a little bit before my time. I can't really speak to Icky Woods. I know he was good when they went to the Super Bowl and they lost to the 49ers.
Was it after the Icky Shuffle where it all came apart?
Dude, this isn't a bad one.
The dance got too big.
Now, maybe you feel differently about this one, but this rings home for me. Darren Williams. Now, I don't know if Darren Williams had injury problems, but he went from being when he was in Utah.
Point
guard Darren Williams.
Because didn't he?
He was putting up like 20 and 10 a game.
He ended up saying his name was Deron, right? Didn't he kind of go with Deron?
Oh, I didn't see that.
It used to be Darren, and then I think he had a thing where he spoke out. He's like, it's Deron.
Dude, he went, those years in Utah where he would put up 20 and 11 his last year in Utah.
There was a debate for 3 or 4 years. It really was. Who was the best point guard, Chris Paul or Darren Williams?
He was in that conversation to the point where he went to Brooklyn and the numbers, he went 21 points, 18 points, 14 points, 13 points, and then was out of the league a couple of years later last year in Cleveland in 2016, 2017.
I'll give you a good running back, Jamal Anderson.
Jamal Anderson.
I mean, he was one of the huge pieces to go to a Super Bowl. He was one of the best rushers in the NFL. And you know, he's had a sad couple. Well, not, I don't know if it's been a little bit now, but he had that the DUI thing, or he was like a gas station blacked out or something. But that's a guy in his career where I thought he was going to have a nice lengthy career. He's a big bruising back, and it just went away quick.
What about the Blue Jay that got punched in the face? Who got put? Jose Bautista.
Bautista,
Odor punched him in the face. Jose Bautista is a pretty good one.
That was our last great baseball fight.
Dude, that was a great baseball fight. Remember, because it was because he hit the home run in the playoff game against Texas where he chucked his bat like into the dugout. And he has been off for the last couple of years.
All right, so there's our sports question of the day. A lot of great athletes thrown into this one. We've got something to introduce coming up next. We've got some news from one NBA legend that I want to pass along. We'll do it next. A whole lot more to get to. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We've got something to point out coming up in the bottom of the hour. I want to get to this, though. Right as the segment starts, of course, the internet lags. I'll pass along the info I have. I was going to read the statement, but it's not loading here. Michael Jordan and the Jordan brand just sent out a release about 15 minutes ago. They are pledging to donate $100 million over the next 10 years to causes that ensure racial equality, social justice, and great access to education.
That's awesome.
So thank you to Michael Jordan and the Jordan brand. That's stuff that really does help change right there. That's
a lot of money over 10 years. It's going to do a lot of good.
So good news to pass along there today. All right. I wanted to.
Danny Granger is a good name.
Granger was good.
So is Hedo Turkoglu.
Paul George got to Indiana, though, and I think there was a difference between Danny Granger and Paul George.
Took it away from him a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was like, oh, Danny Granger's really good.
Yeah. Ooh, Dice K is a good one, too. Remember when Dice K was the next? He was huge.
The gyro ball.
Dude, when he broke in, came over.
What about Chris Webber? He was one that just...
Does he have that a little bit?
Well, he got to Philly, and he just didn't become...
Yeah, but Webber was...
He had a lengthy career, but he got to Philly, and it just didn't work at all with AI. I don't know if that's more of an Iverson
thing. I was thinking
but.
More like Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Great handle.
Oh, yeah.
Great handle. Kind of Steph Curry-ish before Steph Curry.
Yeah, he really did suck. But he was at the end of his career, but he sucked in Philly.
I mean, he had a couple seasons where he was just on fire, and then all of a sudden...
Antonio McDice and Detlef Schrempf.
Antonio McDice.
Yeah, McDice was a good power forward.
That is a great flashback name.
Okay, so do you remember we did our book club and
yes,
we watched Hunters?
We did.
So we haven't done anything since that. Now,
no, we have not.
You and I have talked about this on the show and off the show. I think doing TV is difficult because some people get so into the show that they can't stop.
Right, you and I.
Well, yeah, but then we would like limit ourselves, and some listeners would go, guys, I went 4 episodes deep. You're going to love the twist. Yeah. Or Swagger would have a schedule, and he would go, I only watched one.
And we had a listener that ruined the ending of Hunters. They spoiled it for us, and I saw it in the text line, and then I watched the finale, and I was like, damn it, that bastard ruined it.
Well, instead of doing TV, I think the best approach here is to do movies. So what I want to start doing is on Fridays, and we could do this at 1:15, we could do it in the 2 o'clock hour, it doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
I want to do our Friday cinema. So
movie night.
A movie night, but you can do it into a weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, sure. Talk about it Monday. So it's the box office weekend. Let's start with a movie. And then every week on like a Wednesday, we'll take suggestions and then we'll randomly pick one of the suggestions we get from listeners.
Love it.
Okay, and it can be an old school movie, it can be a newer modern movie, whatever.
Now, are we okay rewatching a movie? Is that in the cards as well, or are we just trying to lean in on stuff that we have not seen yet?
Well, you two are far more likely to be rewatching movies than I am.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch a ton of movies, to be honest with you. At least new movies, I have not seen many of them. But like 1917, for example, you guys, I don't believe ever watched it, did you?
No.
And I did, and I loved it, and I highly recommend it.
We can maybe... figure that out
okay.
Monday or Tuesday.
Are we sticking with our same starting movie that we had 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I wanted to start with Uncut Gems.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. I think most of our listeners probably have Netflix or can get access to a Netflix account.
Yeah, you can find a way to watch it.
And I think we start by saying tonight, Saturday, or Sunday, watch Uncut Gems. We'll talk about it come Monday. And then next week, we will do like a drawing. We'll take suggestions and we'll really put them like in a hat.
Okay.
And we'll just draw it out, and that's the movie for next week's box office weekend.
I'm all over it, man. I have been very curious to watch Uncut Gems.
Me too.
Because I've heard such differing reviews, which makes it unique and makes me excited to watch it. Because I've heard some people that watch it and they didn't like it that much, and I heard some that watch it and they loved it and they thought it should have been up for Best Picture.
It's a very non-Adam Sandler role.
Very non-Adam Sandler. It's just like he doesn't have very many. We were talking about the other day. He doesn't have very many serious roles in his career.
No. And to your point, it's basically been the best movie ever, or I don't get it. Why do people like this?
That movie sucks.
There's really no in-between for Uncut Gems. Now, I know there's going to be listeners that text. Guys, I've already seen that. Okay.
We'll react to it together on Monday.
Well, we could discuss it come Monday, but I thought it'd be fun on Fridays. We're not going to movie theaters yet. Why don't we make our own box office? And if it's you... and your husband, or you and your wife, or you and your kids, depending on what the rating of the movie is,
the genre of the movie,
we can turn it into a Friday thing where we get the weekend to watch it and maybe talk about it on Monday.
That's so. One I've wondered, by the way. And if you've already seen Uncut Gems, and submit a movie next week that you haven't seen that you want to watch. So have that in your mind. If I want to see this movie, because maybe we'll end up picking it, we can all watch it together, but I'm excited to watch it. I have wondered though, the long-term ramifications of this for movie theaters of everything that we're going through right now. I know they're opening, I think in phase two, movie theaters can open back up, so in some counties around the state they're getting there. We're so used to watching things at home, and movies come out pretty quickly on streaming services. Going to the movies is an experience that I think all appreciate, some like yourself more than others, like me. But I'm curious to see how long it takes us to get back into the flow of going to movies and having that be a regular night out again.
Yeah,
it's gonna take a while, I think.
Well, I think it's gonna change it. You've had 4 months of people doing this at their own home, and whether you get good surround sound, you have a 75-inch or a 50-inch.
Everybody's got a big TV now, it feels
you
like.
You can go buy bulk popcorn at Costco for half the price of a bucket from a movie theater.
800 bags of popcorn for $8.
I love the theater. It's one of my favorite hobbies is going to a movie theater to watch something. I'm a little worried of what the future is for them, because the home experience has really been the thing for 4 months now. So I hope I'm wrong on that. I hope movie theaters come back and they open and we cannot worry about the COVID as much and people just go. But I have a hard time believing that, because when you have this long where you don't go to a theater and you kind of dial in your own home experience, or it's already ready to go, I don't know what the motivation is.
By the way, I'm loving this too. To sum up exactly what we were talking about, here are some of the texts on Uncut Gems we got. Uncut Gems is a waste of time. That movie was awful. Uncut Gems is a great first date movie, somebody said. Somebody said, I just watched it. Absolutely solid.
Is that a knock?
Somebody said it's a bad movie. A P1 Jim, our psychologist, apparently said it's a bad movie. So we have three bad movie, waste of time, three good first date movie, and very solid.
Well, but hold on. Is saying it's a great first date movie, is that a good or bad thing?
I think it's a good thing.
You do?
I think it's a good. It's got an exclamation point on the end of it, so I view it as a positive. It's very, very emphatically stated.
I've seen quite a few terrible movies on my first dates, so I don't know if I'm putting that in. It's a good thing. Maybe the listener meant it as a good thing, but my interpretation could be, it's something you do on a first date. You talk about how bad that was. Maybe never see it again. I don't know how to take that.
And I feel like you could go, there's no such thing as a bad first date movie, because if it sucks, it gives you something to talk about. Like, man, that movie really sucked. And then you go through all the things that were wrong with it and all the plot holes.
The Ryan Reynolds Amityville Horror was my last really bad first date movie.
Amityville
Horror.
Wow.
I don't know.
That movie sucked.
Saving Private Ryan, as great as that movie is, it just might be...
That's not a good first date movie.
It's not a good first movie. Like Schindler's List.
Those are too heavy.
It's too heavy a topic.
So this is my point.
I agree with you there. That's true.
So
there
are great movies, but if you're
like
on
12
a first
Years a Slave
date
or something.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not doing that
first date.
Yeah.
Okay, that's valid. I'm with you there. But if you're just going to a normal non-slavery or concentration camp movie, I feel like if it's bad, you can make fun of it being bad, or if it's good, it's obviously going to be a good talking
point. But see, the first date movie really kind of sets the tone on maybe even the future of it. Now, I didn't really connect with an individual, but years ago, I am proud to say this, I went on a blind date with somebody I met on MySpace.
Ooh, did you put her in the top eight right away?
Were you more embarrassed about being on MySpace or going on a blind date?
MySpace was the bee's knees, man.
I'm not embarrassed about my MySpace days. Okay. The MySpace was the ish. In fact, I used to fight against the Facebook push.
MySpace was perfect. We didn't need Facebook.
No, I had top eights. I had music on my page. Yeah. Like, come on.
I wish I could go back and find my page and see.
I tried. I couldn't find it.
Who my top eight friends were when I shut that thing down, and if any of them are still in my life. And then also, what was my song choice? That would have been circa 2006, probably 2005, somewhere in there.
I think my last MySpace song was like a big R&B hit at the time.
Oh, yeah. Slow jams.
It might even be a Chris Brown song. I don't know. I can't confirm nor deny. But it was like a sci-fi movie of some sort. It's not even a memorable one. we went to that, and it kind of just set the tone for a bad first date.
Yeah.
Didn't end well. She was really attractive, but
did
not end well. We ended up never really talking again.
Didn't hit it off.
So the first date movie thing, again, is that a good or bad thing?
Dude, speaking of which, I also, this almost needs to be its own thing, because somebody texted in they went to Black Swan. With My Future Wife was our first date movie. That was awkward.
Ooh, Black Swan's are kind of,
I could see that being. Are there any other ones where, like, there was a Schindler's List or something along those lines where you went on a first date to that movie? It's like, yeah, it's a little intense.
Yeah, like, the wife and I's first date movie was The Hangover, and we laughed for 2 hours.
Right, that's great. Everybody's in a good mood. You're laughing. It's funny. Comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see my point, though?
I see your point.
First date movie might not be a good thing.
I see your point.
All right, we read some thoughts on this one. Also, I have a question about a fast food company I didn't know existed. Apparently, they do. Dirt's got the info. We'll get to that next. Keep texting in. Crunch time around the corner. Sprague in line. We've got a whole lot more to get to.
Hey, welcome back at 1:33. Hope your Fridays are going well. Sometimes these things come out and they get people fired up. And you can see the responses to them and they make you chuckle. This came, Barstool was the site that tweeted this out, and it is from the Public Information and Statistics Society.
See, you took this one interesting. I went a different direction, I think, than you when I saw this, because it feels like we see this 2 to 3 times a year.
Yes.
I'll let you start, but I want to share my what I think about this one.
So it is labeled, the thing is, America's Favorite Fast Food Chains, and it's, of course, a picture of the United States, and it goes state by state, right? I was offended by this.
Okay.
And I think you understand why. The reason I was offended by it was that it lists, by the way, what is your favorite, and I'm going to, we'll track these together. What is your favorite fast food joint, 503-250-1080? And we'll see how many times the Oregon one shows up. We got In-N-Out.
Yeah.
As our favorite fast food joint in the state of Oregon.
I don't know why. That's not surprising to me.
Surprising to you?
No, because we got a lot of transplants now. We've had for a few years. We have 2 In-N-Outs here. And I just
There's 2 in the entire state.
I know, but I just drove past the Salem one. Dirt, that line.
It's still a line.
Do you know where it is? That Kaiser area? Do you know that very well?
Yeah, I've driven by it.
Where the In-N-Out is, I would say the line is damn near a quarter mile long worth of cars every day, basically all day, ever since they opened, which was months ago. So I it's not my favorite one, but I'm not surprised that Oregon got it. I'm more surprised Washington got it.
Yeah, Washington also got In-N-Out. Yeah. There is not an In-N-Out in Washington, to my knowledge.
No.
I don't, there's not even one that exists. But so again, how are you going to label it your favorite fast food place if there's not even one in your state?
Well, I think that goes, again, to the transplant stuff. Like, Seattle's expensive to us. Man, to somebody in California, they're selling their house for $800,000. You're going to live a decent life in Washington.
Well, to make it even funnier, California's was not In-N-Out.
No, it wasn't.
California got Denny's. How does California, of all the states on the West Coast, that should be a California thing?
Well, do you, okay, this is something else I wondered.
How the hell do you get Denny's?
Are you counting Denny's as fast food? I know they cook it quick.
Yeah, I'm counting Denny's as fast. I'm counting them in that category.
But you don't do a drive-thru.
You don't.
I thought this was a drive-thru situation.
Food quality. I would argue in the same conversation, right? You know, it's like, it's a quick meal.
Okay. Now,
a sit-down quick meal, but it's a quick meal.
Can I bring up where I'm coming from here?
Okay.
What stuck out to me on this?
Sure. Because there's a couple in here that I've never heard of before, and I wonder if anybody's had it.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever heard of a Rainforest Cafe?
Yeah, there's one in right before Seattle.
I've never been to a Rainforest Cafe. Have you ever heard of a Jollibee? Jollibee?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
Apparently,
they have frozen, they do frozen food stuff.
It's a murder mitten thing. It's in Michigan.
Why is Tennessee and Maine their number one Long John Silvers? And I didn't know Long John Silvers was still around.
Long John Silvers, man.
Because to my knowledge, the last Skippers in Oregon was in Salem, and I just drove past. It's a weed store now. So I think Skippers is officially gone. And I didn't know people still did Long John Silvers.
Long John Silvers. That's a good poll. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, Tennessee and Maine. Maine, okay, you're a coastal state. I get it.
Tennessee, you're going Long John Silver's, not a barbecue joint of
right,
some sort?
Right, or a Chick-fil-A, or because there's a lot of Chick-fil-A in the South. There's a KFC. North Carolina is Bojangles. I have eaten at a Bojangles. They're pretty good.
Yeah, Bojangles is good.
New York's was Sbarro's. New Jersey's was the Olive Garden, which, is that a little loose counting the Olive Garden fast food?
Well, did you see Minnesota?
What's Minnesota got? Chuck E. Cheese, baby.
Pasquale's.
Oh, yeah.
It's Chuck E. Cheese.
There are three Chuck E. Cheese's that show up on this list.
Yeah.
There's a Tim Hortons. I've never eaten at a Tim Hortons before.
I've heard good things.
It's a donut shop.
Donut place?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Duncan's in there three times.
Yeah, Duncan. Also, Alaska's is the Bubba Gump from company.
I can confirm this. When we went to Juneau, we had a lot of people that...
There's a lot of Bubba Gumps up there?
They're big Bubba Gump fans.
I've eaten at a Bubba Gump in an airport before, but...
That doesn't sound good.
No.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, Einstein Bagels, by the way, was Idaho. There's a couple of McDonald's that show up. Only two Taco Bells, which I'm offended by. There should be more Taco Bells. A Culver's, in which I've never heard of.
You haven't heard of some of these. It's kind of surprising.
I've never heard of a Culver's.
I've heard of it, never had it.
My state diagrams are off. I believe that's Wisconsin. There is a Molly's, a Blimpy.
Oh, Blimpy's. You remember Blimpy's?
Blimpy's. No, yeah. I don't remember Blimpy's.
They do sandwiches. Yeah.
We used to have one on campus.
Okay. And
Blimpy's.
You guys must have been talking about this when I showed up today because there is a Boston Market that shows up.
Yeah, I told Swag, we had a couple Boston Markets in
Boston Market.
Portland, Vancouver, and my mom once in a while would go there. They had decent value meal options.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was really juicy, good chicken, mashed potatoes. They come with a roll, veggies, etc. And I remember they just stopped. They went away.
There was one outfit. I don't know if it was a person or small partnership that had secured the franchisee agreements. There's like four or five of them in the Portland metropolitan area. But they had to file for bankruptcy. And for whatever reason, everybody okay?
You putting those in with your microphone on? It's gross.
You didn't hear anything.
I totally did. No, I was wondering what that sound through. Was.
I was yawning.
So in the course of the bankruptcy and whatever, those franchise agreements couldn't be broken or bought, or they couldn't reissue them or something in the Portland area. And so nobody ever came in. They could not.
Yeah.
There was some legal, technical, contractual reason why they couldn't continue those. And then it just went away out of sight,
right,
out of mind.
Yeah, right. I couldn't control. People, by the way, very offended with the Denny's and the fast food list.
That's
category.
What I'm saying.
They're very offended by
also,
this.
Outback is DC's.
Yeah,
Outback is not
the Outback Steakhouse.
Fast food. It might not be the best food, but it's not fast food.
People are saying the clarification, and I can get this. It's not necessarily a drive-through. It is gratuity. Do you tip? Right? Because if you go to a Denny's, you're going to leave a tip.
Well, yeah, but you don't tip it. Of these other places.
No, I was like,
that's
you don't tip
saying.
Him.
You
don't
go
tip
somewhere
McDonald's.
Where you will tip.
Right. If you're going to sit down and
have
a
it off
meal.
The list.
That should
right.
not be on the
yeah.
list.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't. It doesn't necessarily have to have a drive through for me. Do all In-N-Outs have drive throughs like in California? Is that a dumb question? Okay.
Yeah, that is a dumb question.
Okay. Because I know the ones obviously here do because there's lines that
unless there's one in an airport, obviously.
Sure, an airport one. And people are very offended that ours is not Burgerville. And that was kind of my sense, too.
We kind of always do that, though.
We do, but that's our spot.
Yeah,
like, but that's for us.
Again, I think that speaks... First of all, I don't even know who gets pulled for this crap.
No, I don't either.
Is it cite some survey or how they... It's some statistical database they mined for obtaining this information and coming to its conclusion?
Can I tell you what I want to defend, and I wish I could help make a resurgence for it?
Sure.
Might be all alone on an island on here. I've never had a bad experience at A&W, and I don't get why there's not more of them.
Such a Corvallis thing for you to say.
It might be.
That is such a Beaver comment.
But no, we used to...
Hey, we're going to Corvallis. Should we stop by the A&W on the way into town?
Yeah, it's right off the exit.
it's right there, right off I-5.
Hey, it's,
still got to go another 45 minutes off of the highway. Might as well stop at the A&W.
Look, when you were a kid and got a root beer float,
A&W's,
man, were you
A&W's
ever
solid.
Happier?
My great-grandparents had one off 4th Plane in Vancouver, and for a while there in our lives, we'd go to my great-grandparents on Tuesdays. They had Coney Dog Tuesdays.
Yep.
And we would go get like 10 Coney Dogs for 60 cents each. And root beer floats. I never had a bad experience. So I don't know what the miss was with A&W. If it was like, well, that's one of those old-timey drive-in places, and they never evolved quick enough, but... I always enjoy A&W food, so I don't. They're going away a little bit. I didn't get that.
I'm okay with that. What is your favorite fast food joint? 503-250-1080. By the way, somebody sent me a link, and this shows how stupid we are. This is fake.
Oh, there you go.
It's a fake map. So now it all makes sense. It was all a big troll job by Barstool Sports.
No,
so.
Well, can I say something on that? I'm not shocked by this. I never really believe these maps. And as I've mentioned, they come up with these like 2 to 5 times a year.
Yeah, they come out every now and then.
And they're always just made to rile people up and go crazy. I don't do that anymore.
Right.
But they do this with this. They'll do it with Halloween candy. I mean, like, we might have to get to a point as a show where we decide we're not doing these United States lists anymore.
Sure.
You know, because I'm not shocked this is fake.
I feel like if we were to take a poll of Oregonians, the Burgerville would win. In-N-Out a close second, but I feel like Burgerville would take the cake there. Just because it's local to us.
But do you think Burgerville has the longest lines when you see drive-thrus?
No, but if there were 15 In-N-Outs around the city, and again, I don't know how many Burgervilles there are, but I know there's more than one, and it's not all the way down in Salem-Keizer. If you had 15 In-N-Outs sprinkled around Beaverton and Salem and Portland and
Gresham, Morgan
right?
City,
dude, you wouldn't have lines that were an hour long. You got one of them there. That's why there's a line.
Yeah, eventually it would fizzle out for sure.
Right? It's like there's not hour-long lines in California because they're all over the damn place.
Mm.
So that's my sense on it. Well, there you go. We got God on that one.
The
but
fact that Chuck E. Cheese was three states should have been a dead giveaway. Should have been a dead giveaway.
And the fact that Denny's was California. Yeah, people very offended at that Denny's comment.
I enjoyed Dave and Buster's being Florida.
Dave and Buster's, yeah, an Outback and Olive Garden and a Bubba Gump. That's a random one, too, for Alaska. Keep your fast food takes coming, 503-250-1080. Crunch time coming up next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where their Beaverton and Aloha locations are opening up on Monday, baby. Monday morning, get back to the gym. We all need it.
Portland, feels great,
Vancouver.
Baby.
Yeah, it will feel good.
Let's go.
Portland and Vancouver to follow.
Let's go.
Slightly after that, crunch.com. All the same deals still apply. Time to get back into the gym. Get that summer bod going. We got a lot still to get to in the show. Sprague and Line coming up, final hour. Keep your fake sponsors rolling in, 503-250-1080. It just feels like kind of a fun show. We have a Nazi treasure hunting story to get to in the final hour. You need one of these every now and then. It's been fun so far. By the way, Jeff McGinley, Crazy Eyes McGinley, said that A&W, your spot, is huge in Canada, apparently.
Yeah, but the thing with McGinley is I don't know if that's like supposed to be some weird joke or if he's being serious.
That's true. Is it a compliment? Canadians love A&W?
Yeah, probably not, but maybe he's right.
The listeners, by the way, agreed with your A&W take at the fan text line. They were pro A&W.
A lot
of listeners out there say yeah.
Their fries are good. Hot dogs are good. I never had a problem with burgers.
That's true. Corn dog needs to be a bigger staple in fast food restaurants.
Corn dogs,
You get a good corn dog at a fast food joint. P1 Beaverton or Beaver Kevin texted in. I'm in the Phoenix area. There's lots of In-N-Out locations, always a line. A White Castle opened in January, and there's still 30-minute plus lines. Did it once, totally not worth it. So he's going back on the notion of multiple locations won't cause lesser lines. I will say probably the most disappointing fast food experience I've ever had in my entire life. And there's a lot of them out there.
I'm with you. I know where you're going. This is me too.
White Castle in Vegas.
Not even close.
I had never been to a White Castle before.
We were hungover.
Like, it was fast food is exactly what you need the morning after a long night of drinking. And we all said, let's go to White Castle. It sucked.
We went Harold and Kumar, like Dirt, I, and Coog Ludes. I think we ordered like 25 burgers, a couple fries, dude. Cokes.
Yeah, like 3 trays full of food.
Dude, we got it. We sat down. I was jacked. We opened those little boxes. I took a bite, and that meat was a weird color, and it did not taste good. I think I ate 2 of them, and I called it. I said, I hate doing this, but I'm throwing this away.
Like, dude, I'm done. I got to go find some food somewhere else.
The funny thing with White Castle is you get this split with White Castle where you get people who will defend it because they had a great experience at somewhere. What I heard a lot was, oh, you went to Vegas. You got to have the East Coast one. And I thought, well, if you're good, you're good. You shouldn't have to be predicated on, oh, it's in one area only. If you go to a different location, a different part of the country, it's going to suck.
Right, that's the whole point of not fanning out if you're not ready, dude. It's got to be good food.
From movie and opinion to reality, yeah. I've never been more disappointed.
Yeah, it was awful. Somebody said, I went to a Canadian A&W and they didn't know what a root beer float was.
What do they call it?
They had root beer and ice cream, but they apparently have never combined the two. Do they not have root beer floats in Canada? The Canadians living in the 1800s?
No.
That can't be true. Isn't that what A&W is like most known for?
Yeah, that's their staple.
That's their thing, is the root beer float.
Float. Canada. I want to see if this is a thing. Maybe there's a Reddit stream on it.
Yeah, just Canada's never quite figured it out. Wait, you put the ice cream in the root beer? You put them together? Really? That's the thing?
Dude, I don't know. I'm looking at a menu at two Canada locations. They both have root beer floats.
Okay, we're calling shenanigans on that. I don't know if I quite buy that. Somebody said, dude, I went to the same White Castle in Vegas, and it was so terrible.
It was awful. It really was, and I'm not going to say that people that texted in.
It was so bad, man. It was so bad.
That they had great experiences, that's good for you. The Vegas one was...
It was terrible.
It's easy. You and I are going to probably die with the same opinion. Yeah. The worst fast food experience of my life was the White Castle in Vegas.
I will never eat at a White Castle again. Now, is there one out there that's like a mainstay in every state that you just that is not your cup of tea you won't go to? Because I have one. There's one for me. And it's because it's too comparable to another one that I like better that is there's no point in ever going for me.
Well, I want to be careful with one. I don't know if they're doing any business.
Well, I'm not saying the food's bad, but the one that I don't often go to is Burger King.
Mm.
I don't hit up many Burger Kings because I feel like...
I did Burger King on the way to Bandon.
Did you really?
I got two Whoppers for $6.
Stop on the way down.
I wanted a Whopper. Whoppers are good.
Whoppers are good, but I'm a Big Mac over a Whopper guy. And I put McDonald's and Burger King kind of in that same category. And yeah. I hedge McDonald's in that bet.
Out of the sheer hot take or opinion I gave on A&W, all I heard about prior to a trip in Oklahoma when I was 9 was how unreal Sonic was.
Gotta go to Sonic.
They swear by it. Oklahomans take that place. That is their God and then Sonic,
that's
right?
Their thing.
It's God, Sonic, and Oklahoma football. That's what they care about.
Sonic is kind of unique the way they allow you to order and park and pull up and that kind of stuff.
It's not bad. But if I'm to pick between A&W and Sonic, given they're kind of similar, it just one has ices and one doesn't, sure. I'm taking A&W. So that's kind of like my...
I could see that, yeah.
...thing.
Because Sonic has... They have corn dogs, don't they?
Yeah.
They delve in the corn dog business.
Yeah, they go different hot dogs, hamburgers. They do those slushy, icy things, milkshakes.
Yeah.
They do like a patty melt on the Texas toast, Sonic does.
Is that pretty good? Eh.
It's okay.
It's okay.
I don't think those went as popular as people thought they would when they got here. Because remember, they did commercials for years. And people were like, we don't have these. Why are we getting it?
Why are we getting Sonic commercials?
And then we slowly realized, oh, they're doing commercials when they get into a market. Like Golden Corral advertised for years. There's finally one in Vancouver. But when Sonic got here.
Golden Corral.
Yeah. when Sonic got here, it never really was as packed as I thought it would be. Like In-N-Out, I knew that one was going to be insane.
You knew
still
it was going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Deal texted in. I want to see if I can scroll back and find this. He said he went to the In-N-Out, and it was like a three-hour night last night.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy that people are still doing that?
Here's a pro tip. The wife and I went there with the kids a few months back. If you can hold off on breakfast with your family... Like, wake up, get the kids, make them hungry.
Get them moving.
If you can get to In-N-Out by 10:30, it's right when they open, we were third in line. No, we were maybe like 10th. But right as we got there, we were waiting for our food. The line was ridiculous. We got there. You get there right as they open. You may not be first, but you ain't waiting for an hour.
Yeah.
You'll get your stuff within 20 minutes.
A little bit easier. People are talking smack about Canada now at the fan text line. You're going to get Swaggart upset. He's going to put on his
Canadian. No, Swag hates Canadians.
You don't hate Canadians. Swag loves Canadians.
You don't remember that?
No.
Swag hates Canadians.
I love Canada.
He loves Canadians. Look at him. He's got a mustache. Yeah. He's totally got a jean jacket in his closet.
Some poutine,
exactly.
Damn it.
He's
Swag
all about
wants
Canada.
To be on the Fargo version of Canada, whatever that show ends up being.
A pocket full of loonies and toonies, baby. I'm happy.
Who's your favorite team?
He brought in a Labatt Blue.
The Canucks.
Yeah, Vancouver. Yeah. He brought in a Labatt Blue beer sign.
I've been binging. I finally got through all of last year's Stanley Cup playoffs.
Come on.
You know what I'm doing now? I'm going to go back and watch the games because we have the matchups when they get back together. So I'm going back and watch the regular season matchups for the play-in series.
You need to watch more porn or something, man. What are we doing?
Don't ever change.
Don't. Swagger. He don't never will. Change. It doesn't matter what you say. He's unflappable, man. He will stay Jason Swagger for the rest of his life.
A couple of quick ones. Somebody,
do you not remember that on our show, by the way?
No, I don't. You know me.
When we first started doing this with him, we like, so, I don't remember what it was, but we jokingly would run college. With that he hates Canadians.
Oh.
And then we kind of stop.
Upset, yeah. Get under his skin. Yeah. Somebody asked about Wingstop. Are they fast food? Because I'm there right now. I have never eaten at a Wingstop.
I had Wingstop.
Yeah,
they opened one.
You had it today. Well,
yeah, but they opened one up late last fall or first of the year over by the Beaverton Town Square.
Yeah, by the Fred Meyer.
So I had it. It was fine.
Okay.
I've had really good wings there, and I've had
if they had
mediocre
one closer wings. To where I actually live, because I had to like basically order and start driving at the same time to get there, so they were hot. You know, there's a Buffalo Wild Wings that's closer. So if I wanted wings and didn't want to take the time to cook them, I'd probably go there just because it's closer. But yeah. it's
Cajun and lemon pepper are their best.
Those are the ones to go with.
Yeah.
The Cajun lemon pepper lemon one's pepper. Pretty good.
Okay. Also, a shout out to Mike's Drive-In from a listener. Dude, I love Mike's Drive-In. There's one right in Milwaukee. I don't know if they tore the one down in Selwood, which is depressing. They put it.
There's one in Oregon City.
There's one in Oregon City
that's
still open too.
Dude, yeah, I'm with you on that one. As a kid, they used to have like a foot long hot dog. Dude, all over that thing. Okay. Just going to leave me hanging there.
Break.
Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Hey, their Beaverton and Aloha locations are opening up on Mondays.
Doesn't sound like it hangs long. You're all over it.
6 a.m. Good deals. Crunch.com. Get your workout on. Fitting to talk about fast food for an entire Crunch Time segment. There you go.
We've been talking fast food for 30 minutes.
You know what, Sprague? It's
Did
a Friday.
Did you guys not eat lunch?
I had chicken wings.
Well, you had chicken wings.
We ate together.
I had a breakfast sandwich this morning after golf. I am hungry, though.
I usually don't eat till 11, and then I don't get hungry till about 6.
Must be nice to be skinny.
Well, not all of us are scarfing down huge hot dogs. Sorry. Bet you get really full on those.
You do. It fills you up. All right, I'm just going to stop. Hey, Spring and Line coming up, final hour. Get your fake sponsors in 503-250-1080. What else we got? We got a Nazi treasure hunt. Some other stuff. It's a Friday. We'll be back after this on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.